All right, if you would take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3. I know we're looking forward to getting to singing, and we'll get there here in a second, but I think we'll take a look at one of these wonderful psalms, Psalm chapter 3 this evening. Known as the Songbook of Israel, the Psalms are a collection of doctrinally rich and spiritually honest poems that play a pivotal part in the spiritual life of those who follow God. Again, I trust will be a blessing as we are once again in Psalm chapter 3 this evening. It sent shockwaves through the nation. It seemed abrupt, but in reality had been brewing under the surface for quite a while. One day, King David was ruling in Jerusalem. The next thing he knew, he was packing his bags, and he was fleeing on foot. He was leaving just before his son Absalom stormed into the capital, overthrew his reign, and would have killed his whole family. See, this narration in 2 Samuel chapter 15 through 20, there have been many different signs and things that were not going well with the relationship between David and Absalom. And in the years preceding, as far as David saw it, it appeared that things were getting better between David and Absalom. They were finally talking, and there seemed to be a genuine interest and care that Absalom had for the success of David's reign. It looked like he really cared for the people on top of that, Absalom did. And now it was revealed that it was all just an act. In this one day, everything that David knew was falling apart. Absalom was proven to be a deceiver and rebel before his own father. At the same time, the nation's trust and loyalty dissolved before a charismatic young man. On top of that, his military advisors abandoned him. Also, the priests whom he had relied on deserted him. It was a shock. The trouble was close at first. It was in the family. But now the trouble was spilling over into the city square. It was trouble within the familial, the political, and even the spiritual realms for David. There were many involved. Some were innocent, but what is he to do? How would we respond if we were in his position? See, the tendency is for people to lose hope when things like this happen, when trouble comes knocking at your door. And the question is, how should we navigate when these troubles do come? Is there a biblical way to respond to trouble? And I would add, not only respond to trouble rightly, but is there a way to thrive amid something that is meant to throw us off? Well, how did David respond? And I think we have the answer in our text for the evening, and it serves as a roadmap for how to confidently navigate multifaceted troubles in our life. Again, we're in Psalm chapter 3, and right there at the outset, as I mentioned in the introduction, Psalm 3 is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. This is what he did. This is how he responded. And this becomes a roadmap for us. I trust it'll be a blessing. The first thing we need to see in verses 1 through 2 is that we need to be honest in our troubles. Be honest. The opposition is great. Look at verse 1 and 2. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. And then there's that little break, Selah. And the writer, David, wants us to stop and consider and to think about the troubles. Now, we know David's trouble was with his son Absalom and all of the ramifications of that trouble. But what about your troubles this evening? Are you in denial? Are you just thinking, well, they'll just go away? But David says to the Lord, the opposition is great, Lord. And what we find is he doesn't sugarcoat things. He declares to God the source and the intensity of the trouble. And he's honest with God. Now you may ask, well, what does that look like? Well, you see that in verse 1 and 1a. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? First off, we see that the troubles are increasing. It seems like trouble doesn't just come lightly, does it? When trouble comes, it seems to thunder into our life. And what we find, if you were to do a grammatical study of this verse, it indicates that there was always opposition to David, but now it is intensifying. The difficulty was always kind of bubbling under the surface, but now it's coming back again. And this time it's much more overt, right in his face. And any time a person does what is right, there will always be opposition. And because remember, David was a man after God's own heart. He wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. Did he mess up? Oh, yes. But there was always this undertow of opposition. This is normal. Remember, Jesus reminds his disciples that the world will hate you because of me, because of Jesus. But what we find here, and again, in the grammatical structure, is that there is this opposition is rearing its ugly head again, so to speak. This is what David is saying to the Lord. He's saying, "It's back, Lord." And this may be true of us as well. In this situation, then, be honest with him. Say, "Lord, it's back. Please help me." So the troubles are increasing. He's being honest with God. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know of any of us who've been kicked out of our homes by our children and we're on the run from our children. These are the type of troubles that David is experiencing. These are pretty intense. And the troubles are increasing, but then also the personal attacks are increasing. Think about the feeling David has as he's trudging out of Jerusalem barefoot. And he's thinking about Absalom, and he's thinking about where did it go wrong and what happened, and oh, I can't believe he's doing this. And the attacks are becoming incredibly personal, and they are intensifying. The end of verse 1, "Many are they that rise up against me." Oh, there may have been people that didn't appreciate David because of his stand for doing what's right, or maybe they were tired of his leadership. But now these attacks were getting personal, and they were intensifying. "Many are they," and then the word is that rise up. This is an attack against me. And you may have experienced that as well. Maybe it's a personal attack. Maybe it's an attack on your character. Maybe someone's lied about you. Maybe your trouble has nothing to do with another person. Maybe your trouble is just an effect of sin that you are facing, and it is intensifying. And it seems like it's going directly at you. See, David didn't just see the difficulty, but he saw now the trouble. It was organizing and coalescing against him. It was going against who he was, and it was going against what God had for him in his life. Again, God still wanted David to be the king, as far as David understood. Now, he was also submissive, and he did say, "Lord, if this is the way that I'm supposed to end my rule, well, then so be it. I'll trust you." But he didn't have any indication from the Lord that he was done serving. And yet, there was personal attacks that were intensifying. And so he was honest with the Lord. He said, "Lord, the trouble is increasing. The opposition is great. The personal attacks are intensifying." Think about this also. Not only was this a physical thing, a political thing, but now we get to verse number 2 and we find that there is a massive spiritual element here as well. Look at verse number 2. It says, "Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God." The scoffers who look at David on the way out of Jerusalem and say, "Yeah, good luck. Good luck trying to find help from God. There's no help from him." And then you have that word Selah. Think about it. Stop. Consider. And we being spiritual beings, there's not very much that we face that doesn't go to our spiritual lives as well. The difficulties of life that we face, they tend to try to dismantle us spiritually as well. Look where the enemy goes. Look what the trouble seeks to do. It seeks to sever our connection with God. And in theory or in real life, it seeks to dismantle or at least call into question our faith in God. It tries to declare God as unable or deficient to help. That's what verse 2 is saying. There's no help for him in God. Now, this tactic is not new, right? I mean, think about it. From the beginning, our enemies have sought to undermine our connection to God. What are those enemies? Well, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let's take the devil first. Our adversary, the devil, has sought to woo people away from their connection with God, declaring him as being deficient in some way. Even Eve, at the very beginning, the devil came in and questioned God's goodness to her. You could be like gods. Actually, God doesn't want you to be like that. And so it is a physical difficulty David is experiencing, but it's going to the spiritual level. And we have the devil. So you have the world, the flesh, and the devil. What else? What other enemy is trying to sever our relationship and trust in God? Think about the world's philosophies, how they seek to distract or give us other answers. Secular humanism tries to give answers that delete God and his word. And so the world seeks to undermine our connection to God and our trust in God. And then likewise, our own flesh doubts and distracts from a wholehearted trust in the one who promises his help, his care, his presence, his protection. How often have we doubted God in our hearts? Oh, maybe we don't want to admit it, but in the recesses of our mind, we sit back and we go, Lord, really? Is this really what I'm supposed to face now? And so there is a spiritual element to these troubles, and we have external mockery in relation to David's situation. There's no help for him in God. So, beloved, this evening, there was no sugarcoating it. There was no optimism left. David was in trouble, and it was getting worse. Now, I love Scripture in that it doesn't sugarcoat our troubles. It goes through and it looks at the effects of sin and it lays it out for us. Personally, economically, familial, and even spiritual parts of us can be impacted by these troubles. And so in that, be honest with your Lord. Be honest with your God. That's what David does. And life has a way of bringing crushing troubles into our lives. Have you ever heard of the phrase, seems like troubles come in threes? It's like it just kind of hits one, and then it hits the second, and then it hits the third, and you feel crushed. Now, whether it's because of our own choices, whether it's because of the choices or the ambitions of others, in the midst of trouble, where did David turn? He turned to his Lord, and he was honest with his God. That was the first point. Now, secondly, in our troubles, we must be theologically active and theologically accurate as well, I might add. He turns to God's protection amid opposition. Look at verse 3. And I love the first four words. It says, "But thou, O Lord." In the midst of all of his honesty of the difficulty, after all of that rough day where he's traipsing up the mountain out of Jerusalem, he says, "But thou, O Lord." What is that phrase? In that phrase, it is the summarization of him turning his eyes from his trouble now back to God. Then he says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill." And then here's another Selah, another break. Think about this. And in the context of the story, David is incredibly vulnerable. And Scripture states that he flees Jerusalem even barefoot. It's meant to be a sign of total desolation. Everybody saw the king stumble up a hill outside of Jerusalem, and he had no shoes on. He didn't have his sword on. He was not going in victory. He was going in utter defeat. He was brought completely low. And in his most vulnerable and at his weakest, he turns to God. He sees God for who he is. And he sees first that God's character is trustworthy. God's character is trustworthy. He says, "But thou, O Lord, you art a shield for me. You are my glory and the lifter up of mine head." I love these three things. In God, David finds all that he needs for his situation. He says, first off, "Lord, you're my shield." He finds protection somewhere where he can hide when all of the different gates of the city and the walls of the city have been stripped away. He finds protection, a shield in God. Not only that, he finds his purpose, his glory. That's the second thing. "Lord, you are a shield for me. You are my glory." There is no other more glorious thing than the fact that you are in fellowship and in relationship with God. And he says back, he ties himself back to his relationship with God, and he says, "I'm finding my purpose in you, Lord." And if that's not enough, after protection and purpose, now he finds poise and confidence. And I love this, because how often have we gone through such difficulty and we almost hang our head? We just are exhausted. We just are worn by life. We're worn by this trouble that just seems relentless. And what do we find? We find that David says, "You are the lifter up of mine head." He finds poise and confidence in God. He certainly couldn't find trust in anything else. He was alone, he was betrayed, and he turned to God. Likewise, we too can find our protection, purpose, and poise in our God. In trouble, are you looking to him, or are you trying to find solutions elsewhere? If so, don't be surprised if your confidence wanes and you just find yourself with your head in your hands saying, "I don't know what to do." But David finds God's character to be trustworthy. And he encourages his heart that God is the shield, God is the glory, and God is the lifter up of his head. So God's character is trustworthy, but then also God's process for protection is very clearly laid out in verse 4. What is verse 4? David walks through the process. He says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice." And here's the wonderful thing. He heard me. He heard me out of his holy hill. The first thing that we must do when we are facing any type of trouble is we need to go to the Lord in prayer. Prayer, the breathing of the saints. How often do we forfeit the stores of power and help because we don't pray about our troubles, or we pray about the troubles after we've exhausted everything else? David cried to the Lord, and though God was in his holy hill above it all, which is actually a comfort if you think about it, God still heard and stooped to help David. And so it is with us. When we cry to the Lord, he hears us. So then, beloved, talk to your Lord. Talk to your God. In fact, the book of Acts says that he's not far from any one of us. And then here's the other reality. He stoops to hear our cries. Think about that. The eternal God of heaven will tune his ear to hear the cries of his children. And he comes swooping in. He stoops to hear our cries, and he sends help. And the question is, won't you call on him as David did? See, God's process for protection was clear. It was prayer. "I cried to the Lord with my voice." And sometimes that word "cry" can actually mean cry. How long has it been since in your prayer closet you've just maybe even broken down and said, "Lord, I can't do any of anything. I need you. Please help me." And the wonderful thing, he, out of his holy hill, above it all, transcendent, What Absalom was doing did not affect God in any way, though David was in the middle of it. David could go to his God above it all and say, Lord, would you please help me? And so prayer. Prayer, the breathing of the saints. Do you pray? And how often do you pray? And how fervently do you pray? It works. James talks about it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Are you a prayer warrior? Because in trouble, you must be honest with God. Secondly, you must be theologically active and accurate in your trouble. And then now third, you must recognize God's work in your trouble. He sees the results of trusting in God, verses 5 through 8. Look at what verses 5 through 8 say. Verse 5, and this is a wonderful verse. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. How many people was he afraid of in that moment in the trouble? Probably one, his son. And yet after spending time with God, he says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. And then he says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, and thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. And there it is again, Selah. Spend some time thinking about this. So recounting what God has done and is doing helped David with the future. It was an uncertain future. He didn't know what was going to happen. And yet he was able to thrive. You look at verses 5 through 8. This is a man who is thriving even in the midst of all of these terrible troubles. How did he thrive with such an uncertain future? Well, we see verse 5, he had rest first. Rest. I laid me down and I slept. Have you ever had just a wonderful nap or a wonderful evening of rest? You lay down and it's almost like it's a big sigh of relief. In exile from his home, out in the wilderness, stripped of everything, what did David do? He laid down and he fell asleep. And God gave his child rest. What a wonderful God we serve. I can't help but think also of Peter in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12, who is awaiting execution by doing what? Sleeping. So much so that the angel who was there to deliver him had to smack him on the side to wake him up. I love that story, by the way. There's quite a few things that make me chuckle in that. But Acts chapter 12, there was such rest in the midst of such trouble. Again, David experienced this protection and sustaining power. It was holding back the forces that wanted to end him. God was not done with him yet. And he saw the Lord sustain him. Beloved, our God is so kind and so loving. Find your rest in him. In fact, Psalm 127 echoes this when he says that he gives his children rest. Rest, what a wonderful gift from our God. Not just rest, but also now verse 6, confidence. Verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. He was surrounded. But he knew that numbers do not matter with an omnipotent God. We need not be afraid when God is with us. Even death does not escape God's control and his dominion. Then that means we can be confident in God, even when surrounded by these troubles. Beloved, are you lacking in confidence this evening? Get your eyes off of the trouble and instead look to Jesus. Again, the example of Peter walking on the water. Another example, Elisha's servant and the hosts of heaven round about them protecting in the midst of trouble. Shift your focus to God. You can be confident in him, even when your circumstances and everything around you, you can't find your confidence in. And so rest, confidence, and then verse 7, victory. Verse 7, says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." David asked God to arise and to be active in the midst of his struggle. He knows that this is the path to victory, since the believer in God is already in a position of victory. We can then live in this reality. If you have Christ, you have already won. And because we are tied to God by his grace, we have already had and have the victory. God has already dealt the blow to evil. And that's what you see in the verse. He's smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. He's broken the teeth of the ungodly. He's dealt the blow to evil. Its days are numbered. We need not fret when evil tries to rear its ugly head again. God can save, he does save, and we remind ourselves of that victory, that we are more than conquerors if we are in Christ. So he says, "Arise, O Lord, save me. There is victory with the Lord." And then lastly, verse 8, blessing. Blessing, wonderful blessing. Look at verse 8, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, and thy blessing is upon thy people." No longer does David put his hope in anything or anyone, because no one else saves. Salvation originates with God, and he is the one who executes it for us. Now, for us who are believers, we see eternal salvation. In this context specifically, we do see that David knows that salvation from his trouble belongs to the Lord. But then he also has that connection with God, that salvation. He's trusting in the Lord no matter what. Why? Because that salvation belongs to the Lord. David couldn't bring it about, neither can we. Salvation originates with God. He's the one who executes it. In fact, the salvation of God is so great that it not only impacts those directly saved, but then you get to the end of the verse and you see the blessing upon more people than just the one who he saves. Salvation impacts others as well. The blessings of God fall on the people. The salvation of God, whether for eternity or even the deliverance from trouble, will have an impact on other people. So declare God's eternal and even temporal salvation from trouble. It will bless others as they see that deliverance. So this evening, when trouble hits, how should we respond? We have seen, number one, be honest with God in your trouble. Then we saw, number two, be theologically active in your trouble. Be accurate about who God is. And then lastly, recognize God's work in trouble and be thankful for that. Look at the rest and look at the confidence and look at the victory, and look at the salvation that God offers. So to wrap it up, it was the moment David needed. It came from a friend, but it was anything but certain. See, as David was wrestling with his troubles in exile, there was a friend of his named Hushai. David's friend and spy was discussing with Absalom what to do in Jerusalem. And you probably know the story, but Ahithophel, David's former counselor, who was rarely wrong, had advised Absalom to wipe David out. Don't wait, go wipe him out. And in fact, 2 Samuel 17 seems to indicate that if Absalom had listened to Ahithophel, he would have been proven right again. David would have been wiped off the face of the earth. But against all human odds, God was active in the situation, and he made sure that Hushai's advice to wait was heeded by Absalom, not Ahithophel's advice to attack. And it was during this time that David was able to remind himself of God, to regather himself and find confidence in the Lord to meet the troubles that he was facing. He had time to pursue and to seek God in the midst of his trouble. And this was precisely what he needed. He needed a moment to catch his breath. And what we see David do in this short reprieve was to encourage himself in God. this is what we must do as well. Our tendency in trouble is to lose hope. But as we saw tonight, God is our help in trouble. Make sure you ask the Lord for some time to pursue God. Lord, would you give me just a second to catch my breath? I need to spend time with you. I need to talk with you. I need to pursue you. Again, tonight we saw, be honest with him. Lord, I just need a few moments to gather myself and consider and to think and to pray with you. Please give me a moment. So be honest with him. See him for who he is and recognize God's work on your behalf. And then don't doubt. Don't doubt in the dark what you know to be true in the light. Pursue God amid trouble. And when we do, don't be surprised if your confidence increases because of our wonderful Lord. Would you bow together in prayer with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this verse, for these verses. Lord, you are our shield, you are our glory, and you are the one who lifts up our head. Lord, I don't know what folks are experiencing this evening, but Lord, you do. And Lord, if there is someone who needs a shield, Lord, help them to find their protection in you. Lord, if there's one who needs to be reminded that everything we do is to be for the glory of our Lord, the connection back to you, that you are our glory, and Lord, would you encourage them with that truth? And then, Lord, there may be some who are just weary, just worn, maybe just working so hard, and then they realize they don't have enough strength any longer. They don't have confidence. And Lord, would you be the one who lifts up their head? Lord, would you help us? Would you give us ample time to spend with you so that then we might be encouraged back in who you are? Lord, we're thankful for the rich blessings you give to us. We're thankful for the rest. We're thankful for the confidence. We're thankful for the victory that is ours in Christ. And we're thankful also for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. You are good. And Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised, as we say. And so, Lord, help us even in the next few moments as we have opportunity to sing your praises. May you be pleased. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.